All right, I want you to picture something for a second. It's Monday morning. You're a manager, maybe a VP, and you're staring at this dashboard, and it's just filled with green check marks. 100% completion on the new safety training, 100% on compliance. It looks perfect.
And you get that nice warm feeling of accomplishment.
Right, you think my team is trained.
And that feeling right there, that is what I call the illusion of competence. And it is probably the most expensive illusion in the entire corporate world.
It's a dangerous comfort blanket, isn't it? Because all that dashboard really tells you is that everyone clicked next enough times to get to the end of a video. It doesn't tell you if they learned anything, or more importantly, if they can actually do anything differently when it matters.
Precisely. We confuse consumption with competence, and today we're going to tear that illusion apart.
We are. We're looking at a set of documents from a group called Max Media Partners. They specialize in interactive training, which, let's be honest, is usually a buzzword for.
For boring clicking.
Yeah. Usually, yes. But their philosophy is surprisingly aggressive. They're not talking about making training fun. They're talking about why it fundamentally breaks. They have this core thesis that I think we need to put right up front. It's this: training fails when content, delivery, and context are misaligned.
Misaligned, that is the operative word.
So our mission today is to really unpack that. We're going to stress test this idea that training can't just be a library of videos, the Netflix for work model that everyone's chasing, but that it has to be a rigorous system.
A system designed to survive the real world, not just the classroom. That's the key.
Okay, so let's start right there with that friction point. The source material makes this claim that I found, well, really provocative. They say learning breaks down when complexity increases.
It's a bold claim.
It is, and I have to push back on it a little. Isn't the whole point of training to prepare you for complexity? I mean, if you're training a pilot, you're not training him for clear skies.
No, you're training for the storm.
Exactly. So if the training breaks when things get complex, isn't that just bad training?
It is bad training, but it's bad for a very specific, almost physiological reason. Think about where you usually take corporate training.
At my desk, probably with a coffee. It's quiet.
Exactly. Low stress, low cognitive load. You've got all the time in the world to read the question and pick answer B. You're learning in a total vacuum.
But the real world isn't a vacuum.
Not at all. It's noisy, it's messy, you have deadlines, people are yelling. The complexity of the environment just skyrockets.
Okay.
And when that complexity spikes, your brain enters a different state. If your training was only encoded in that calm, low-stress state, you literally can't access it when the pressure
So
hits.
it's not that I forgot the information.
No, it's that you can't find it. The neural pathway just isn't robust enough. That's what they mean when they say learning breaks down.
The context has changed so drastically that the information is locked away.
Exactly. And that brings us right back to those three pillars Max Media identifies: content, delivery, and context. They argue that if those three aren't perfectly interlocked, the whole stool just falls over.
I want to dig into these because on the surface, they sound like, standard instructional design terms. Content is the what, delivery is the how. But context, that seems to be the one that always gets ignored.
It's the orphan of the industry. Everyone pays for content. Everyone pays for a delivery platform. Nobody wants to pay for
Can
context.
you give me an example of what that misalignment actually looks like? Like, walk me through a real-world scenario.
Sure. Let's take a high-stakes example. Say you're training field technicians to repair wind turbines.
Okay, very high stakes. You're 300 feet in the air.
Right. So you hire the best engineers in the world to write the content. It's 100% accurate. Then you hire a Hollywood-level video team to shoot it.
Beautiful. 4K resolution, cinematic music.
Sounds great so far. But then you deploy it, and the context is the technician is hanging off the side of that turbine, wearing heavy gloves with terrible cell reception on a ruggedized tablet that's 3 years old.
And the 4K video won't load.
It won't buffer. Or even if it did, the tech can't watch a 20-minute cinematic experience while they're also trying to check a voltage meter.
So the heavy video file is completely at war with the context.
Totally. So the training fails, not because the information was wrong, but because the system wasn't aligned. The technician ignores it, guesses the repair, and maybe someone gets hurt. That's misalignment.
That distinction really clarifies their point about informing versus aligning behavior. I feel like most companies, they just settle for informing. We sent the PDF, you're informed.
Informing is cheap. It's easy. Here's the policy. But Max Media is talking about enterprise and high-stakes environments.
Compliance safety.
Operational readiness. In those worlds, knowing is not enough. You have to behave according to the rule, even when you're tired or stressed or tempted to cut corners.
So how do you actually build something that does that?
Yeah.
Because it sounds expensive. It sounds like you need a team of psychologists and filmmakers and IT wizards all working together.
Well, looking at the source, that's kind of exactly what they're arguing for. They explicitly warn against what they call the collection of modules approach.
The grocery list method.
Right. We need a safety video. We need an HR quiz. Hmm. You just collect them, you put them in a folder, and you walk away.
Instead, they argue for a unified framework. They list three parts: learning design, media production, and technical delivery.
And they have to be integrated.
Okay, I'm going to play devil's advocate again. Why? Why do they need to be integrated? Why can't I have my learning team write a script, hand it to the media team to film, and then give the file to IT to upload? That's the standard assembly line.
It is standard, and that's exactly why it fails, because those three teams, they have conflicting goals. They are, in a sense, natural enemies.
Enemies, wow, that's strong.
I know it sounds strong, but think about it. The media production team wants to make art. They want engagement, flashy graphics, fast cuts, dramatic music.
Okay, I'm with you.
But the learning design team, they care about something called cognitive load. If the music is too loud or the edits are too fast, the learner gets overwhelmed and just stops absorbing the information.
So the cool factor from the media can actually sabotage the learning.
It completely undermines it. The media team wins the battle for attention, but they lose the war for retention.
I see.
And then you bring in the technical delivery team. They don't care about art or pedagogy. They care about bandwidth, security, and making sure it works with that legacy HR system from 2005.
Make the file smaller.
Make the file smaller. Remove the interactive code because it's a security risk. And for the love of God, make it run on Internet Explorer.
Right.
If you don't have those three groups in a room and a system aligning their goals from day one, you get a Frankenstein product.
It's like building a car where the engine team never once spoke to the chassis team.
And then you realize the engine doesn't fit under the hood.
Yeah.
Max Media's unified framework is basically its project management for the human brain.
You mentioned project management, but there's another layer here that scares me, and that's scale.
Scale is the enemy of nuance.
Yeah.
Always.
Right. I mean, it's one thing to have a great trainer in a room with 10 people. You can read the room, adjust. Yeah. But Max Media is talking about global reach. Mm. I looked at their footer. They've got offices in Dallas, San Francisco, Denver, Miami, but also Europe and Central America.
That geographic spread is really important to notice.
So how do you maintain that context we just talked about when you're deploying the same training to a manager in Dallas and another one in Berlin?
That's the telephone game problem.
Yeah.
And usually when companies try to scale, they just water everything down to the lowest common denominator.
So it doesn't offend anyone or confuse anyone.
But then it becomes bland and useless for everyone. A system fixes that by building adaptability into the core. You're not just translating subtitles. You might be swapping out the entire scenario.
Oh, okay. So like
a conflict resolution scenario that works in New York might seem incredibly aggressive and rude to a team in Tokyo.
Right.
If you just translate the words, you have a massive context failure. But if you have a system, you swap that module for the Tokyo context version while keeping the core learning objective the same.
So the content stays the same. The principle of conflict resolution, but the delivery and context shift to match the user.
Precisely. And that requires a structured, repeatable architecture. You can't just wing it.
Okay, let's get into the tactics. We've bashed the video library approach enough. What replaces it? The source mentions scenario-based learning and simulations pretty heavily.
Yeah, scenario-based learning is the antidote to the lecture.
Why? What makes it so much better than just listening to an expert tell you what to do?
It comes down to emotional engagement and this concept of safe failure.
Safe failure. I like that term.
In a lecture, you are passive. You're just a bucket waiting for someone to pour information into you. In a scenario, you're the protagonist. You have to make a choice. The customer is shouting at you.
Okay.
Do you A, shout back, B, walk away, or C, apologize?
And if I choose A, shout back,
then the simulation shows you the consequences. The customer storms out, you lose the account, your boss is yelling at you, you feel a microdose of that failure.
And that feeling actually sticks with you.
It sticks way better than a bullet point that says, don't yell at customers. We learn through consequence. Scenario-based learning lets you blow up the factory or crash the plane or lose the client, all without costing the company a dime.
It's like a flight simulator for soft skills.
That's exactly what it is. And look at the use cases they list. Onboarding, readiness, but compliance is the big one for me.
Oh, compliance training is the worst. It's usually just dense legal text on a screen.
And that's why it's so dangerous. If you just read the bribery policy, you think, well, obviously I'd never take a bribe.
Of course not.
But in the real world, a bribe doesn't look like a bag of cash. Yep. It looks like a nice dinner or a small favor for your kid.
It's nuanced. It's a gray area.
A good simulation puts you in that gray area. It tempts you. It tricks you. And when you finally click accept gift and the screen flashes compliance violation, you actually learn where the line is.
You're training your gut instinct, not just your memory.
Exactly. You're aligning the behavior to the real world pressure.
I also saw they mentioned hybrid delivery, which I found interesting because most digital agencies, they want to kill the classroom. They want everything to be an app.
That's true. But look at their focus again, real world conditions. Sometimes the best way to learn is still looking a human being in the eye.
Especially for something like leadership development.
Right. You can do the online simulation, but then you need the debrief with a mentor. A system recognizes that. It doesn't try to force everything onto an iPhone. It knows when to be digital and when to be analog. That's a sign of maturity in the design.
Okay, I have to pivot to something that I found, well, a little weird. And I don't know if you caught this. Way down in the footer of the source material.
Copyright date.
The copyright date. I was scrolling down, checking their locations, and I saw 2035 by Digital Marketing.
2035.
So, we are technically looking at a source from the future, or a typo. But let's have some fun with it. In the spirit of a deep dive, let's just treat this as a signal.
Okay, let's assume it's not a typo. Let's assume this is the training philosophy that survives until 2035.
What does that tell us about the future of work?
It tells us that the core problem doesn't go away.
That's a little depressing, isn't it?
Not necessarily. It just means that technology doesn't solve the human problem. By 2035, we'll probably have AI that can generate infinite video content in seconds.
Sure.
We'll have VR headsets that are indistinguishable from reality. So content and delivery will be cheap and they'll be perfect.
Content becomes a commodity.
Exactly. But context, that human element of why does this matter to me right now, that becomes the premium asset. The value.
So the system approach becomes the only way to cut through all that noise.
Think about the information overload we have now. Now multiply that by 10 for 2035. If you just dump a bunch of modules on an employee, then they will ignore it. Their AI assistant will probably filter it out as spam.
Alexa, do my compliance training for me.
Exactly. The only thing that will penetrate that noise is an experience that forces alignment. Something that demands human judgment.
It implies that as the world gets more automated, training has to get more human.
You know, that actually tracks with their tagline. Did you see that? We're very social creatures.
I saw that. It felt a bit cheeky for a corporate training company.
But it's the absolute truth. We aren't hard drives. We don't just download files. We learn socially, from stories, from mistakes. If Max Media is betting on social and interactive for 2035, they're betting on human nature staying constant. Even when the tech changes completely.
That's a really solid insight. The tools change, the biology doesn't. We still freeze when we're stressed. We still tune out when we're bored.
And we still fail when the training doesn't match the reality of the job.
So let's bring this all back to today. For the listener who is maybe designing training or maybe just taking it and hating it, what's the big takeaway here?
The takeaway is the stress test.
Walk me through that.
Whether you are building a course for 10,000 employees or you're just teaching your kid how to budget their allowance, ask yourself the three questions. Do they have the content, the knowledge? Do they have the right delivery? Is the method right for them? And then the most important one, is the context aligned?
Are you practicing in a way that actually matches the game?
Exactly. If you're teaching a kid to budget, don't give them a lecture. Give them $20 and let them run out of money at the store. That is the context. That is the safe failure.
Let them feel the misalignment in a safe environment.
That's how you build competence. Anything else is just looking at a dashboard of green check marks and hoping for the best.
And as we've learned today, that is a very, very expensive hope.
The most expensive.
Well, I think this completely changes how I'm going to look at the next mandatory training invite I get. I'm going to be looking for the system behind it.
And if you don't find one, well, at least now you'll know why it's not sticking.
Thanks for diving deep with us today. It's been a fascinating look at the machinery of how we learn and why we so often don't.
Always a pleasure.
Until next time, keep asking the hard questions. And maybe check the copyright date on your next training manual. You never know where it's from.